to the March Madness meeting. Let's start with the call to order. You can do this.
Please call the order. Now I'm doing well here. Governor Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy. Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick. Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiesner.
Wiesner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. We may now introduce. We're going to get to making you the acting secretary. We may decide to change our mind. No. Your main voice. Thank you. We have one request for public comment. So, Mr. Sherman. And I know you're very mindful of the time constraints, so we appreciate that. Thank you.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. The reason I'm here today is that I have a proposal for a solution for funding your project in Lake County. Last time I was here, I spoke about the need to keep the speed up on anything you construct in Lake County and to not put tolls on the highway on the Cook County portion of Route 53. And after I made that presentation, I decided, okay, I've made my point on that. It's time to shut up, leave you alone on that issue, on those issues, and let the process work. So this is completely, this is somewhat different. The solution that I have is radical. However, when you take a look at it, you might find that it's reasonable. It's radical, but it's not weird, wacko, or bizarre. The solution that I have for you on how to fund the project in Lake County is to drop the Route 120 portion of the project and instead run the project up from Lake Cook Road to Peterson Road. This is page 36. This is page 36 of the Blue Ribbon Committee's report. Peterson Road, if you're not familiar, is just south, about 2 miles south of the Route 120 portion. There's a number of benefits to running it up to Peterson Road and stopping there. First, according to the Blue Ribbon Report on page 54 of their report, this project is supposed to cost approximately $2.6 billion. 12 miles on the Route 53 portion, 14 miles on the 120 portion. That's 26 miles, $2.6 billion, about $100 million per mile. And those people who are familiar with new construction of these types of facilities know that $100 million per mile is a reasonable ballpark figure for that type of construction. By going from Lake Cook Road to Peterson Road, that's 10 miles. You eliminate 14 and 2, you eliminate 16 miles, so now you can cut about two-thirds of the cost of this project. $2.6 billion is the proposed cost of the project, and according to the Blue Ribbon Committee, you're going to be about $2 billion short. Well, you get rid of 16 miles, you get rid of approximately $1.6 billion worth of the project. You're only $400 million short, and with a few modifications and revenue enhancements out of Lake County, now you got a project. You might be able to do something here. Cutting off the road at Peterson, cutting off the new highway at Peterson Road would not be that disruptive to that community as far as traffic for these reasons. Traffic going west would be able to go west on Peterson Road and then Route 60 to 120 and Rand Road, where the 120 project was scheduled to end. Traffic going east can go east on Peterson Road and 137 and either continue east on 137 or go northeast on Milwaukee Avenue, Route 21. Traffic going north could go north on Route 83, which is right there at that junction,
or Route 45, which is a mile east of that junction. So there are lots of ways to distribute the traffic from there. So by shortening the project to 10 miles, ending it at Peterson Road, you might actually have a project that you can build. On the other hand, by piggybacking the Route 120 project on the Route 53 project, you might make this thing so costly, so expensive, that the whole project sinks, and nobody wants that. We certainly want something built. So my request is that, particularly with that $4 million contract that you have to the consultant, the 18-month deal, you know what I'm talking about there, I'm requesting that the board and the consultant, or however it's appropriate, that you look into the merits of running a project from Lake Hook Road to Peterson Road and terminating it there, and see if perhaps by doing that you have a project that is actually fiscally obtainable, where if you were to run the project all the way to 120 and then east and west for a total of 14 miles, the whole project sinks. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to hearing what the result of this proposal is at the appropriate time, which may be 18 months, maybe 2 years, maybe sooner than that, might be later than that, but I'm always treated well by the tollway, by the board, and by the executive team, so I look forward to a response at the appropriate time when you know whether or not this is something that you would want to do, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. First, we always enjoy it when people come forward with positive suggestions for us. Sometimes people only have criticism, so this is a nice event. I think your point about feeding this into the process with the contract that we approved last month is a very positive and good idea. And then as a point of personal privilege, I want to ask Director Peterson if that road belongs to him, if he has any comment on it.
I can only wish. It was, you know, wish it was a farming family that I have, but it was, I'm not related.
Are there any other comments that any board member would like to make? Or Christy, did you want to comment on that?
No, we appreciate you coming and the idea, and I know you've shared it with us, and again, as part of the process, we'll be evaluating all kinds of different alternatives, so we appreciate you thinking about it.
Thank you. If I may take another 15 seconds, I will be asking the municipalities in Northwest Cook County to endorse what I propose. I'll be bringing these ideas to them, asking them to support it, and because I'm trying to demonstrate a consensus on Northwest Cook and the municipalities of Northwest Cook County. We know there's a consensus in Lake County that the people of Northwest Cook County should pay for the project. If you look on page 56 of the proposal, they're talking about tolling Route 53, bringing in about $100 million per year, while page 54 talks about the Lake County side only bringing in around $60 million a year. So the majority of the cost would be out of Cook County. Well, if you drop the 120 project, then you can drop the tolls on the Cook County portion of Route 53. And if you keep 120 and you have tolls on the Cook County portion of Route 53, then you have a situation where the Cook County people are paying for 120. Again, very, very briefly, the point has been suggested that there is some peripheral benefit to the people in Cook County to have this project built. Well, maybe there's a benefit to the people in Cook County to have the Route 53 portion, but there certainly is no benefit to the people of Cook County to having Route 120 built in the northern part of Lake County, and thank you for your time.
We know that you and the municipalities in northern Cook County will keep an open mind as this process goes forward, and we appreciate that. So, thank you. Okay, now it's your moment, Rob. We actually have a resolution here. Christy, do you want to set this up for us? Christy,
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
It came a little late.
I'm not sure I can read this right. Is it James?
Jane, I think.
Oh, Jane, I'm sorry. Bellinger?
Villinga,
from the Chicago Women in Trade. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
I know Mr. Sherman knows this, but I just want to let you know that that camera up there is putting a streaming of live.
Super.
We don't have an enormous audience, so
what?
You can't have your camera.
Anyway, thank you for having me today. I'm here to talk a little bit about and in support of the Tollway's new community hiring initiative to subsidize employment for community residents in areas that the Tollway is working. At Chicago Women in Trades, we for 30 years have been working to prepare and support women in construction careers. And 30 years later, we are at 3%, which is not enough. And I think the same is true for minorities. So one of the reasons is low numbers of women entering apprenticeship. And the other reason is retention, the additional challenges they face in gaining employment and getting equitable on-the-job training. So one of the ways to really achieve progress for this is publicly funded projects. And we really applaud all the efforts that the Tollway has made over the years to advance that goal. So we've worked with them on the Earn Credit Program for many years. Way back when it started with the last major project. We had maybe 18 women were hired through the Earn Credit Program. And more importantly, they worked for the duration of the project. So it wasn't just a one-off type of thing. And many of them are still involved in the construction trades. So in this case, with the economy the way it is, maybe an additional push is needed to give people that first opportunity for a career, a high-wage career in the construction trades. And we know we have many students who live in these areas and how much they would really benefit from these opportunities. They're just waiting for an opportunity to show and demonstrate that they're valuable employees worth investing in. And it's hard to get that first opportunity in this economy. So we really appreciate the Tollway's creativity and willingness to make sure that the benefits of these public projects are spread in the communities equitably. So anyway, I encourage you to really think about this as a way to help residents in these communities build solid careers in the construction trades. Thank you.
Thank you. So we appreciate your coming again with a positive message about the work we're doing, and also welcome any suggestions that you or anybody that you work with about how to improve what we do. And we're always open to that. Kristen, did you have any reaction or comment you wanted to make?
Well, we appreciate your partnership as an organization on the Earn Credit Program, for sure, and I think that that has been, you know, a wonderful program, and I know we've been trying to reinvigorate it, particularly as Smooth Illinois is ramping up, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the community hiring program under my items on the agenda. It is something that we're trying to advance to get out in front of this year's construction season, and it will be a work in progress, as all new projects and programs are, but, you know, we are excited about it, so thanks for coming.
So one thing I want to say, and the thing that I think is so great about the Earn Credit Program is that it focuses on retention as well as acceptance into the program. So that the fact that the contractors continue to earn bid credits for the hours that they keep workers on site is really key. And you know, we've shared the Earn Credit Program with trades women's organizations all over the country. I mean, it's really a model for trying to use incentives instead of enforcement. And I know enforcement isn't maybe so much something you can do. But I think the incentive model is something that people are really interested in. And for this program, what I would really like to see is in exchange for the incentive for the contractors to be required to provide some on-the-job training, some that is specified so that people do walk away from these opportunities with skills that they can take to the next job.
So.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah,
may I ask you one question?
Yeah.
So our first child is a girl. She was born on March 8th, which then subsequently became International Women's Day or something. Well, this is Women's History Month.
Right.
And so every year I think about whether things have changed. Huh? When I first got to Governor State as president, there was one woman on the maintenance crew, and she came to me the first day and said, may I have coffee with you in the lunchroom? And I said, sure, that would be fine. And we sat down, and I asked her why we were having coffee. And she said, because I'm always getting harassed on the when I'm out in the field working with the guys. And if they know that I can talk to you, maybe that'll change. So my question is this: do you think there's still harassment that goes on for the women who are out in the crews in the field? And I don't mean like necessarily overt harassment, but the kind of subtle harassment that may make women think, well, I really can't be in this field anymore.
Yeah, you know, my feeling is there are some people out there having 2012 or 13 experiences, and there are some women out there having 1976 experiences, you know? I mean, it's across the board, but we are doing a retention study, interviewing women who are either graduating from or dropping out of apprenticeship programs. And the number one issues are inequitable on-the-job training, so they don't feel like they're getting the same level of training on the job as the guys. And the second one is jobs. They feel like it's harder for them to get a job, or they're the first ones to be let go from a job.
So those are the tangible kinds of things that you can actually measure. Okay.
Yeah, you know, but it's experiential. It's really hard to say. It's really hard to really quantify it. But yeah, there are definitely still issues out there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions from anybody? Thanks for coming. Okay. Now I guess we have Rob Small. Christy, do you want to just explain?
Well, I don't know whether I, just to retaliate, should introduce you and pronounce your name incorrectly.
Please do.
I'll rise above it. So, Rob Barron is sitting in for Marlene Vick, who, as you know, has been appointed temporary secretary when Trenise left. She's out on vacation this week with her family, as many people are, because of spring break. And so Rob is sitting in, and what we'd like to do is have another resolution appointing him also as an assistant secretary, so that in these cases, even once we get a permanent replacement, either he or Marlene, for instance, would be able to substitute in, and we wouldn't have, you know, any issues with people serving in this official capacity. So, Rob, thank you for stepping in here in this last week, and that is my brief introduction.
Thank you. So I will call for a vote on the resolution, and if Director Wiesner wishes to abstain. Okay. You see the resolution is attached here. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? No. Okay, thank you. Welcome. We won't harass you.
Yeah, we won't mention that.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is the minutes. As you remember at the last board meeting, I believe we got the minutes out a little bit late, and there were some members who hadn't had a chance to review them, so we deferred the approval of the January minutes to this board meeting, and then we also had the board meeting and the executive session meeting for the February 28th board meeting. So let me just call for a motion first.
So moved. Second.
Are there any questions or corrections or additions on any of these? Okay, then may I hear all of those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. I think we had one board meeting, and we're appreciative of those who were willing to reschedule. I think we had to reschedule one board meeting because we had some stuff that was coming up that we wanted to get to them at the next meeting, and we need to defer that for a little while. So I think we only had Director Peterson, Chair Peterson's Financial Administration and Operations Committee meeting. You can give us a report on that.
The committee met last Wednesday, March 20th. Finance had one item. There'll be another item for consideration today regarding the bond indenture, but the committee discussed and approved the renewal of the bond trustee services for a period of May 2013 through April 2017, which will complete the total of 10 years included in the 2007 RFP. Procurement had 11 items were presented. There were three orders against the CMS master contract to refresh the tollways technology infrastructure for our central administration facility and our disaster recovery site, including networking equipment, servers, and Microsoft licensing. Also an award of a tollway RFP for a web-based project management system to manage our capital projects, which was very important to improve Illinois. An emergency contract to replace two vehicle hoists at the M3 garage in Park Ridge. Those are a few of the highlights of procurement. Engineering. Our chief engineer and our diversity chief both provided an update on our efforts to unbundle construction contracts. These efforts are yielding really good results, which they discussed, and we're going to discuss it later today. But a couple of highlights were under the tollway's previous capital program, the congestion relief program. We average about 13 unbundled contracts, less than 5 million contracts per year. Despite procurement challenges right now, I think in 2012, we awarded 14 unbundled contracts as of today. To date, including 10 unbundled contracts on this month's agenda, we have produced 13 more. Okay. These efforts have also led to 4 new firms who won prime contractor roles and 2 MBE firms who won prime contractor roles. The goal was to create more opportunities for small and diverse contractors to continue to offer a range of job sizes and types. We're also continuing to meet this commitment and build momentum on this as we go forward. I think both Paul and Gustavo are going to continue to update us on that progress. There were 21 items for approval. 20 were placed on today's consent agenda. One item pertaining to a Di Benedetto resolution for land acquisition is going to be discussed in executive today. Of the $70 million in contracts presented today, $14.9 million, or 21%, is committed to disadvantaged minority and women-owned business enterprises. One item added to the engineering agenda at the tollway that we heard about this morning that we're going to discuss later is the community hiring initiative. Legal, there were 4 items were presented. There were 4 intergovernmental agreements. Workers' comp item is going to be deferred today to exec. Of those 4, I'll highlight the Kane County Forest Preserve in the City of Elgin. IGA enabled the tollway to facilitate mitigation work to secure U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permits for the reconstruction of I-90. We did have public comment from Stephen Byers of the Illinois Nature Preserve Committee regarding protection of the forested fen. Also, another highlight would be the IGA with the Village of Hoffman Estates as part of the work on a full access interchange to I-90 at Barrington Road. Parties have agreed to split the so-called Phase 2 design engineering cost. Tollway share is $1.7 million. Paid half up front, half upon completion of the work. The other 2 IGAs, one with IDOT, and the other was with the Village of Posen. That's the report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or questions on those? They will be up on the consent agenda and also in executive session if there's any further information or questions that you have. Okay, I just had 3 other things I wanted to mention. One is, as you know, we're going out into the market to sell bonds, during the past 2 weeks, Mike Stone as well, Bill O'Connell, have been working really hard to put together this material that needs to go to support the sale of the bond. In addition, there have been 3 meetings with the rating agencies. I was able to attend 2 of those, and one of them I was out of town. I will say in a completely objective fashion that I thought we had a great story to tell. The record of the tollway has been superb. Paul has accompanied us in those meetings, and I thought the questions from the rating agencies were all very fair and thoughtful questions, and I think we have good answers for everything that they're asking about. So I felt very good about the meetings and hope that we will get a fair assessment. I don't know if Christy or Mike, you want to comment on any of those? And then what's coming up in the next week is meeting with some people who might be interested in acquiring the bonds. It feels a little bit like the Miss America pageant, but we're going forward with those, and we'll see what happens when we get out into the market. And we appreciate the work that everybody on the board has done. The story that has to be told is the story of what the tollway's done since we were last out on the market, and I think that's a really remarkable and very strong story of fiscal constraint and very good estimates on what the returns and the budgets would be in terms of the traffic patterns, and so I think it's a very sound work that's been done here, and we thank everybody for that. The second is just to remind you again, April 22nd is Earth Day. You would put it on your calendar. There's been some preliminary work on that done by Christy, the staff. We've had a meeting with the chairs and a discussion with them on the phone. Our preliminary work and now the idea of what the agenda will be is to drill down on the deferred maintenance and the cost of capital construction in the region on all the transportation systems. That will be the topic again this year on the Earth Day Summit. We're going to try to get more granular about what kind of work actually can be done over the next 5 to 10 years. and to see if we can figure out a plan to have all of the transportation agencies agree on a way to go forward to try to figure out how to support the necessary resources to be able to do that. On one of our calls, one of the chairs of the other agency said, well, the tollway did such a great job of figuring out what the program for its work was and then how to get support to move forward to fund that work. We hope that we can do that among all the other transportation agencies. I am hopeful too, and maybe lightning will strike and we can get everybody to agree on what the priorities ought to be and a way of figuring out how to support that work. So that's April 22nd. We hope that all of the directors can be there. It's great to have you there, and I think it's important to be seen by the other directors from the other agencies. It's in the morning, so I think there's the continental breakfast at 8:30, and then the program actually starts at 9. And then the only other item I wanted to mention is that Christy arrived at the tollway in April 2 years ago.
It's only 2 years ago.
Three years.
Thank you.
Time flies when we're having fun. So we will have the annual evaluation. We'll discuss that in executive session. I have seen Christy's self-evaluation of her goals from last year. She's very modest about the accomplishments. So I'm looking forward to having a good discussion about that. And we will discuss her retention at the tollway when that happens in executive session. So those are my additional items. Christy?
Great, thank you.
Unless anybody has any questions. Okay.
I think it's a very thorough report. So just a couple of people that I'd like to introduce. First, we have Tom Cagle, who's joining us. He's actually going to be replacing Ted Gibbs as Deputy Chief of Staff. Ted is going back to the governor's office. That seems to be a trend in this position, so watch out. But Ted did a great job for us, and I'm sure Tom will as well. He brings a lot of great private sector experience in particular, which I think will be very helpful given the nature of some of the big projects that we have to implement, like the ERP system and the back office system and you know, some of the other more operations-oriented projects that we have to implement over the next couple of years. And then,
so we welcome you and look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Yeah. And then Captain Perez cannot be here today, and at the risk of slaughtering the pronunciation of your last name, Lieutenant, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
I'm Mark Karczewski, currently in charge of Special Operations in Zone 5, District 15.
Great. Thank you very much for being here. We very much value our partnership with the State Police, so we hope you find this board meeting as engaging as all of our board meetings.
Whatever that means.
Welcome. So I wanted, before we get to the presentations, I wanted to recognize an award that the tollway, and in particular our EEO officer, Lisa Williams, received last night from the African American Contractors Association. She was presented with the Community Achievement Award for Outstanding Employment Outreach of the Year. You know, Lisa's efforts have really been fantastic in this area, and you know, when she started, I really charged her with taking this on and doing more outreach to various, you know, ethnic communities and groups to make sure that we could have the most diverse pool of candidates applying for tollway jobs. And she has exceeded even my high expectations for her efforts. And really, we have now currently at the tollway the most diverse workforce ever in our agency's history. And, you know, for example, 57% of the new employees hired in 2012 are diverse or people of color, including 44% who are African American of the new employees. So that really speaks to the amount of outreach and just getting those candidates in the mix. And then I think that ultimately, you know, you have the best folks rising to the top, which is very exciting for us. So, Lisa, congratulations.
Thank you.
And earlier this month, our materials engineer, Steve Gillen, was named Person of the Year by the Illinois Asphalt and Pavement Association for his work on sustainable pavements. I was also presented with an award for the tollway. I can tell you that my parents would have never expected me to get an award from the Asphalt Pavement Association, but Steve in particular deserves this. He is really our materials division here at the tollway and does a fantastic job of being innovative in assessing and making sure that we're using, that we're pushing the envelope without pushing it too far. So we're delivering a good product for our patrons and our customers, and really we've been at the forefront of using recycled materials in our in our pavement and you know, asphalt and shingles, which I know you've heard about before. Ultimately, those types of innovations do end up creating businesses in the state, which is, you know, a nice offshoot of that work. So he's done a great job. And also last month, the Chicago chapter of Women's Transportation Seminar selected the Illinois Tollway to receive the Rosa Parks Diversity Leadership Award for our Earn Credit program. I think in particular, I think they honored Gustavo's and his team's efforts. So I just wanted to make you aware that we had also received that honor. And as you recall, our Earn Credit program is the program that gives credit, bid credit to contractors who, you know, participate in bringing you know, disadvantaged and underserved populations to the table to work on our job sites and ultimately sponsor and retain them in the unions in good jobs. So WTS Chicago award ceremony is going to be held later this spring or early summer. I'm not sure if there's a date yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah. So congratulations to Gustavo and his group.
Christine?
Yes.
If we can clap for Steve, I'm going to send him back to work.
I'm sorry. I didn't see you back there.
Thank you very much.
So, Steve.
Christine, I thank you for your support. It couldn't have happened without the support of you and Paul.
Do you want
to
tell us what an asphalt award looks like?
Just like me. They put your pictures
on. Oh. Congratulations. Yes, congratulations. Thank you. Now, right, get back to work. Men wear ties. We also, I'm going to now introduce Jim Wagner, our Inspector General, who I know you're all familiar with. Twice a year, the Inspector General's office by statute provides a report on their activities. So Jim is here to give that report to the board, and of course we value very much you know, his efforts here at the Tollway, and I'd like to thank him and his team for his tremendous work. We take all of these findings very seriously, and we can appreciate the breadth and depth of these investigations and value Jim's professionalism throughout the process. So he's going to go over his findings, and of course, I'm sure he's available to answer, able to answer questions now, but we also can take them a little bit later as well. So, Jim, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And as Christy said, I have our six-month summary of our activity that we're required to present to the governor's office and the legislature, as well as the board. And I know the board, I believe, has a copy of the report. I know it may have gotten to you late. There were some last minute additions. I wanted to just go through it very quickly. I don't intend to hit each point, but I will highlight a couple of, I think, important sections. But first of all, I want to tell you the thing that I'm happiest about is after quite an extensive procurement process, and training process, we finally have installed in the IG office our own server and computer system that is completely encrypted and protected, so our files are confidential. And I'm very, very happy to have accomplished that. And going forward, I think we're going to be in a better position to ensure that all of our materials are safe and sound. We did have several cases that resulted in some law enforcement activity. We had two cases, 12004 and 12018, involving fraudulent checks that were transacted on a iPass account of the tollway. We traced back both of those. The first case, the total amount that was obtained fraudulently at currency exchanges was over $35,000. We did identify the subject in that, and we've turned that information over for prosecution. The second case, there were fraudulent checks at numerous different establishments, and there were multiple subjects involved, a total of $7,800, and we've turned that information over as well. The important thing to note here is that the finance department did an excellent job in tracing back to find the problem. And they have eliminated the problem going forward by having the activity on the account transmitted to the bank daily, so that the bank knows that if it hasn't received the activity for that day, any check that comes in is not an appropriate check and will not be honored. And we have not received any information since that time about any fraudulent checks on our accounts. So I think that's been resolved. We worked closely also on another case, 001-1301, with the Illinois State Police. I didn't know you had a question.
Could I ask just one question about that?
Sure.
And that also, as far as you can determine, didn't involve people in the tollway?
Yes, that's an important point. Thank you. On either case, when we looked at the activity, we did not find any indication that anyone connected with the tollway was involved. In any way.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, thank you. We worked on another case with the Illinois State Police Medicaid Fraud Unit, who had developed information about a tollway employee who had defrauded the Department of Human Services, allegedly caring for a patient and not caring for a patient. And at the time, the person was working for the tollway, claiming that they were working, caring for a patient. That individual has resigned. There are pending charges. The amount of fraudulent gain could be in excess of $30,000. So it's a significant case. We then had a case that had taken quite a bit of time to investigate, starting from 2012, case number 11. That was regarding allegations about a maintenance supervisor and the allegations including sleeping on the job and intimidating employees. The investigation determined that there was intimidation, threatening, abusive behavior, condescending, assignments of work were problematic, and the supervisor has been dismissed. The other case here of 2012, number 147, involved a toll collector who had been not assigning vehicles their proper classification, resulting in not collecting the appropriate amount of money. That person had been retrained numerous times, and we worked with toll operations in order to figure out a way to resolve the issue. He was given 35 days suspension, and he's right now on a last chance agreement. We then had a case involving our IPAS call taker unit where the IPAS people can call in about their accounts. And evidently, this employee over there, who was an employee provided by our employment companies, he was not a tollway employee, had been agreeing to meet with people off-site to settle their accounts for cash. And in some instances, people agreed to do that. He did meet with them. In not all cases did he actually do anything for the money, but he collected over $4,000. He has been terminated by the employment company, and we are talking to DuPage County about charges. We had some cases that resulted in our recommending some changes. One in 2012, case number 12, dealt with a subcontractor allegedly not performing the work out on the site. We did look at that along with internal audit. It was determined that the company did not have the equipment to do the work for the tollway because their past work had been for the city of Chicago. They didn't have the heavy equipment they needed, and therefore they rented from another company. There's nothing wrong with that, but the tollway needs to be advised when that situation occurs, and the proper paperwork had not been forwarded to the tollway. We recommended additional oversight at the work site. And we have construction managers, and there are specific requirements. The construction managers have to perform their work in their manual. They have to give a description of any DBE issues. They have to log the arrival of equipment on site, and they have to log visitors to the site. These things were not happening in this particular instance in all cases. The engineering department on March 26th gave us a reply saying they've addressed this at meetings and with meetings with their project managers. And they're also going to advertise for a professional service to augment monitoring. And that'll be in Professional Service Bulletin 13-1. The previously discussed case that I mentioned before about the supervisor led us to make additional recommendations, and so you have that also in your report again, because we felt it necessary to suggest that in the testing and hiring process, it would be helpful if the department chiefs had an opportunity to review applications and pertinent background material. The information that we received was that didn't happen in all cases. The other recommendation was a management program for classes to train people in management. And I think that there are different agencies that provide that type of training for managers to go forward and learn a little bit more of techniques to appropriately manage. And I don't believe that that's offered in all cases currently. We also recommended the removal, the consideration of the removal of any kind of second chance agreement when a employee tests positive for drug or alcohol use in connection with on-duty operation of a tollway vehicle or on-duty conduct that results in injury or criminal violations. And then consider any written requests for the outside employment, which currently all of our employees can have outside employment as long as there's no conflict of interest in that employment, but that request go up the chain of command to each level so each management level is aware of that person's request. Currently, in many instances, the request is made by the employee directly to the chief of that department. There's intermediary levels that may not even realize the individual has got an outside job, which can affect his ability to be at work when he's supposed to be. And then we had a long investigation from 2011, number 33, that resulted from information on a workers' comp claim, and it resulted in several recommendations that we just got a response on March 20th, and I won't go through all of those. They're in your report. We did recommend that the tollway managers needed additional instruction on what injuries qualify for accommodation under the ADA Act, and we were told that that need is practical and would be beneficiary, but the ADA coordinator here at the tollway is in the process of conducting updated guidance regarding disability. Several other similar type recommendations and responses were given on that. And then finally, I just wanted to mention in summary that these are the cases that resulted in recommendations or instances of criminal activity that were noted. We had dozens of other investigations going on at the same time. And the last page gives you the total count. I'm not going to go through that, but we had a total during this period of 100 cases that were opened, and we closed 96, but we have a lot ongoing currently. Were there any other questions?
Have questions?
No, thank you again for your hard work and your team's hard work on this. And I will mention that on the call center, as you recall, we are transitioning to a new facility and a new vendor relationship there over the coming year. So we do, you know, some of the things that I think we've learned through the this most recent incident maybe can help to inform, you know, additional improvements in our systems or operations or implementation of that new relationship. So thank you very much for your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you. I always feel safer and better when Jim reports on what he's been doing.
Christy,
good.
What's next? Well, we now have an update from diversity and strategic development. For those directors who attended the Finance Committee meeting, some of this may be familiar, but there is some new material here. One of the goals of our Move Illinois program is to increase economic opportunities for disadvantaged minority and women-owned businesses and smaller businesses generally, as well as to create job opportunities for people who are underemployed. That's been very clearly articulated, I think, by the board repeatedly, both directly and through the questions that you asked about our contracts. So, with that in mind, I'm very pleased to announce that we're looking to launch a new community hiring initiative, which Gustavo is going to talk about a little bit here in his presentation. And this initiative is really, I think, going to provide, on a pilot program basis, particularly around the 294-57 project, provide incentives for contractors to hire local residents with construction skills to work on the Move Illinois program. And we wanted to talk to you a little bit about that and our ideas for that, and of course get your feedback on whether the parameters we're setting for that new program make sense to you. We do want to move quickly to implement it because obviously the construction season is upon us, and we've been working at it for several months now, ever since we first talked about it in Gustavo's update, I think in April or November of last year. I can't remember. Somewhere between those dates there was an update. So here to tell you more is Gustavo Geraldo, who's been doing a great job on this, who's our Chief of Diversity and Strategic Development. And you know, we're very excited about the potential for this new program. So, Gustavo.
And thank you, Christy, for that very appropriate introduction. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. And what I'd like to do is, first of all, bear with me, please, if I forget to move on slides. I'm notorious for forgetting to move on slides, so just stop me and tell me, Gustavo, you got to move on to the next slide if I fail to do so. So first of all, I have two objectives to present to you today. Number one, give the board a glance of the work and accomplishments achieved in 2012. And second, share the Diversity and Strategic Development Department's goals for this year. As you know, the Diversity and Strategic Development Department remains a relatively new department, which is less than 14 months old, created to assist the TALWIS Move Illinois program diversity efforts. The Department of Diversity and Strategic Development works to increase access to contract opportunities for certified, disadvantaged, minority, and women-owned businesses, enterprises, through diversity outreach efforts. It effectively to also effectively communicate the TALWIS diversity programs and initiatives, level the playing field for all businesses through growing competition, help diversify skill and construction trades, and improve monitoring of tollway contracts to maximize economic benefit and ensure prompt payment and diversity compliance. This slide shows that based on dollars paid by the tollway through December of last year, our overall achievement nears 23% of all monies paid to construction and engineering firms. Of the nearly $859.4 million paid to these firms, close to $661 million went to DMWBE construction companies and $198.5 million to engineering firms. The respective percentages are 21.4% and 29.5%. Of the $859.4 million that was paid to DMWBE businesses, $105.6 million, or 12.3%, went to African-American-owned businesses. $38.2 million, or 4.4%, went to Asian-Indian-owned businesses. $137.1 million.